You know, I just about can't help it. That last couple of lines of that third verse say, I'm bound for the land of rest, no burdens, no trials or cares. And then it says, I'll lay down my sword and shield, the victory won. And I just about want to praise God. Thank the Lord. I'm just really encouraged by that, to keep it on. The Lord's made it. He's provided everything I need. He's been faithful. He's proven it. I can trust him. And I want to give that testimony this morning, that wherever we are, some of us may be in some trials. Well, the Lord can help you. He absolutely will help you. He will be faithful. He will carry you through that. Some of us may be young, and we are like, is the Lord really worth it? And I can't say how much he's worth it. To go ahead and commit your life to Christ and to make him first in your life, and give him the attention he deserves in your life, because he is absolutely worth it. One day you too are going to think a whole lot more about eternity than you even do now. And you're going to be thankful that you committed your life to Christ when you come to that day, especially. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for being here with us today. And we just ask you that you bless in our service as we open up your word. Yes. You understand the things you have for us and the things you want to say to us and the need that we have for them, dear God. So we ask by your spirit that you would lead God in everything that is said and done, and you would help us to allow you to teach us by your spirit in our own hearts and write it on our hearts. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a message I feel like the Lord has given us this morning, and the title of the message will be Controlling Our Tongues. The Lord started bringing a little thought, a little burden about this to me, and as we get into it, these kind of subjects can get real personal. That's not what it is. It's personal between you and the Lord this morning. Yes. I have every bit of need as anybody, and maybe more than most, that the Lord help me. I feel that sincerely in my heart. And so as he talks to us this morning, there's a burden about the need to understand this need in our life, but also to understand, well, and sometimes thoughts just leave us. So let's just leave it at that right now, and maybe the Lord will bring that back to us. But the need we have of doing this, that it's an important thing in our life. God understands the challenge. God's not oblivious. He didn't create you, and somebody came along and then created the tongue and added it to who you were. God created you, and he understands the struggle we have, and the comprehension we have sometimes. Honestly, we take this and we think about, well, someone who just doesn't control the tongue. Well, that's one thing for sure. But also just in sincerity, sometimes we didn't realize it was important right there to maybe say that a little different or something like that. The Lord understands all that. And this is not a message this morning, I don't feel like, in any of the spirit of the message, to overburden us, but to get real with us a little bit and for us to be careful and realize the need of this. So we want to look over in James, the third chapter. It seemed kind of hard to preach a message about the tongue without delving into this chapter a little bit. And I see something new in this chapter this morning, and it's what I was trying to share a minute ago. I see a recognition that God inspired James to write some things that show a recognition that God has to the struggle that faces us with this, okay? God's not oblivious to that. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So we want to stop. There's several thoughts here, and we don't want to pass over. We want to get what the Lord has for us. So we want to pause here, and we want to talk about a couple of things. The first thing is the word offend. This word, the Greek word here, means to trip, to err, to sin, and to fail. It's possible to do all those things with your tongue this morning. That's a recognition we need to have. You know, there are times where we've just tripped up. I mean, it just was a mistake. We just need to go back and correct things. There's times where we build deeper with our mouths, with the words that we're using, with what's coming out of there. And we've got some more work to do than just setting something right. We need to understand the connection. Sometimes we pass off things too easily about our tongue. Sometimes we say, well, that's just who I am. The Lord's not interested in who you are. He's interested in who He wants you to be. And to pass it off and say, well, He's forgiven me for that. The Lord has forgiveness. But He may have some requirements attached to that as well. And to just pass it off is going to put us in some places where we don't take care of things that we need to be taken care of. All right? And so it says here, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. I don't want you to raise your hand, but just in our minds, let's just think about what if I asked us this morning to raise our hands if we've never offended anybody at all. If there was no cause for, let's say it that way, if there was no cause for anybody to ever be offended by something that I've said. Now, don't raise your hand. If you think you can raise your hand to that, then you need to pray. And you need to review your life. You need to let God spend some time with you and open some things to your vision. Because that's just really not, I'm not going to say it's not true, but this verse right here hints to that. That's pretty much an impossibility that we would go through life and never have a moment where we had to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have done that. That'd mean you're the worst sinner in the world. Maybe it was sin. But it might have just been an error. It might have just been a trip. It might have been a point where you just didn't realize there was a stick in the road and I tripped over it. And I fell, so to speak, in my spiritual walk right now in this moment and said some things. And I need to take care of it. I need to get back on my feet and set it right. And maybe I can get that stick out of the way where somebody else doesn't trip over that. You know, just as a side, the effort we take to take this seriously in our life, it really can clear some sticks out of the way for other people. It really can. It's worth, not just for our own sakes and because God has given us this responsibility, but it also, the effect it has on others can be such a blessing. When we do the hard work sometimes, when we move the logs, when we move the rocks, when we move the things, when we smooth the path in this manner in our life, it can be such a blessing for those around us and not just those coming behind us. We think of our children and we want that, the ones younger than us, our grandchildren maybe, and people past that, but it's also the people ahead of us. My efforts in this manner affect people older, younger, the same age as me in my life, who are endeavoring to walk with the Lord, who want to live a life before the Lord. It blesses them. It has a profound effect. And so it says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. This is what I was just telling you. The effect, our tongue's effect on the environment around us, on the people around us, is far greater than we always anticipate. We don't always anticipate how much of an effect we really have on those around us. We pass it off a little too easily sometimes and don't take it seriously enough. So Lord, help us to look at these two verses and say, you know what? This is an inspired word of God. He's trying to make a point to me here. This has a great effect. Lord, help me. Amen. All right. And so it goes on and says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And I was just thinking how that I did not grow up. I'm gonna share this with you, but I feel like I need a disclaimer. I did not grow up starting fires and burning things. Thankfully, I didn't do that, you know, in a bad way, but I didn't do it in a good way. You just go out and you burn a wood pile or you burn trash or something like that. I didn't grow up, so I don't know everything about that. In fact, when we first got married, my wife had to show me how to do that more effectively and actually get the fire burning at first, and she did, and I've gotten better at it, but maybe still not the best. But think about that whole process, all right? You go out and you strike a match. Amber sent me a picture the other day. She went out and struck a match and started a fire in just a few minutes. How were the flames? They were taller than probably this ceiling coming off that fire. It started with a little match. We have some practical application of this we can get a hold of in our lives as to what the Lord is trying to say. Profound effect. All right? When you strike a match, what do we always tell our kids? Don't play with fire. Why? Because if it was just that little match, what's the worst going to happen? It's just going to maybe singe your fingers a little bit. No big deal. But it's what it can grow to.
Yes.
And what it can expand to. And that's the example used here to help us get a hold of the importance of controlling our tongues. All right? I want to share something else with you too. We put piles out there and we've walked out and we've put a match to them and we've blown on them and we've done all kinds of things and it burns a little and it just dies out. And we've walked out there and we put a match to a fire and like the one that Amber did the other day, the next second the flames are huge. You never know. We're not responsible necessarily for the wood that's there in somebody's life. But it's so important, y'all, to think past just my comfort and what I felt like saying. Because you don't know when somebody's woodpile is ready to ignite. And you walk back and you say, well, I shouldn't have done that over that. Well, if you would have just not said it, if you wouldn't have struck the match, it wouldn't have lit up. But you struck a match when their woodpile was ready to light. And things accelerated so quickly because of that. Do I have any responsibility? Yeah. I mean, I could have walked past and not struck the match. Now, I didn't put all the wood there. I didn't make it dry. I'm not talking that we bear the full responsibility for somebody else's life. But what can I do to make it better? What can I do to help? Especially in this matter here. Lord, help me to consider the importance of controlling my tongue, of considering the words I'm about to say, of thinking before I speak. That's my problem. That's where I get into trouble a lot of times. I don't think before I speak. There's probably several more problems I have, but that's one I have. And Lord, help me. That's something He's had to deal with me about. Brandon, you got to think about what you're fixing to say before you say it. Your instant reaction is just to say it and it's all fun and games and everything maybe, or maybe you think there's no effect, but then a fire blows up because somebody's wood was just waiting. And you're the one that lit it, the little bitty fire that made it a bonfire. Lord, help us to take it seriously, all right? And so it goes on and says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Now, James is trying to really drive a point home. And I want us to get what he's saying here and take it exactly. Because we can take something and go overboard with it. I never need to speak again. It's not what the point is here. We have a responsibility to speak. We can't say, okay, well, the way to fix this is just not to talk. I tried that. I had a problem before I was saved with certain words, and I decided the way to fix it was just not to talk. Y'all have heard that testimony from me sometimes. That's not a very practical way to try to. In fact, it's not practical at all. In fact, it's also not. It creates disobedience to who God is, because He told us to go and spread the gospel. He told us to forget not to communicate. He told us. He made word and He made language. So the way to answer this is not to say, well, the tongue's just evil and I've just got to shut it down. And that's what we want to do sometimes when we realize that we made mistakes with our words. Devil traps us in a corner and begins to tell us just to be quiet. He takes what God is teaching us and he takes it overboard in our life. And then we're not filling the places we need to be filling in life for his kingdom. All right, so that's not what this is saying. But what it is saying is trying to get a message across to us, all right? When you don't think it matters or it's not your responsibility, when you don't take it seriously, the words you are saying, then you are just stepping back and giving a big old space to Satan in your life to work his work. When you don't take your words seriously, that's where the issue is. To understand then that Satan's got something he can work on here. He can cause you to trip. He can cause you to fail. He can cause you to err. He can cause you to fall, to sin. And there's a direct connection here because we think about our actions and we don't always think about our words. Lord, help us to take it seriously and realize not give the Satan that space in our life, because if we don't take the reins of our tongue, Satan will. As a saved, 32 years saved child of God, if I don't take the reins of my mouth, then Satan will find a way to pull them in his direction. If I just take them kind of loosely and I don't hold them and be aware of where they're going, if I kind of hold them loosely, kind of inattentively, and I'm off here, he will sneak up and grab hold of a rein and pull it in a direction that you didn't mean for it to go. So take it seriously. Don't let the tongue do its own thing. That's what this verse is trying to talk about. Don't let your tongue just do its own thing, no matter how long you've been saved. Take the reins. Take responsibility. Take hold of it. And guide that tongue where it needs to go. Let the Lord guide you. Let him direct you. Let him help you consider things beyond just what you thought you were saying. Because God will do that with you too. You'll be like, well, this is what I thought I was saying. Well, he can reveal to you. Well, but here's the effect it's having around you. So take the reins. Take it seriously. Let the Lord show you and teach you about it in your life. Don't just let it flounder wherever it will flounder in life, because Satan will take the reins and make it go in a direction.
Yes, that's true.
All right. The seventh verse says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And this just kind of cements what we're talking here. 50 years saved. You know what I need to do? I still need to be attentive to my tongue. I still need to hold the reins, just like I've always held them. I need to keep my hands on them, because there's not a point where, okay, it's been 50 years, I'll just let them go now and let's see what happens. Satan's very eager for us to do that, because if you've been 50 years and you've had a good testimony and you just kind of stop worrying about it, boy, what an effect he can have then, right? So Lord, help us to understand that God gives us, can help us, and he will help us. But there's never a point where we need to lay down these reins and think everything's just going to be okay. Let's continue to let the Lord show us and help us to be careful with our tongues and to speak life. God's got a lot of things he wants to say through each one of you. Every one of us here, God wants to speak through you. But he needs you to hold on to those reins and listen to him and allow him to help you guide that tongue where it needs to go. Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and 34. And this is actually right towards the end. The whole passage has happened where Jesus was casting out demons and along came the scribes and Pharisees. I believe it was in this case. It describes them as the scribes and Pharisees. And they begin to say, well, I mean, they tried everything they could to prove Jesus was just not right. And he's sitting here throwing demons out, you know. What else can we do? Well, just say that he's throwing them out by the devil. That's how he's doing it. He's an agent of the devil, so he's throwing the devils out. And so this is where Jesus comes down and he talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Something, obviously, a power of God throwing Satan out. Satan didn't throw Satan out. All right, that was from God. And what he was doing was obviously of God, and they're calling it evil. So this is where this passage is coming in behind. But I want us to pick up here in the 34th verse as he's kind of instructed them in some things. And then he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can you?" And then he says something that I want us to get a hold of, a truth. That Jesus just dropped a truth on us right here, okay? He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Okay? Words can be idle. Be careful. We're just going to read a little more here. We're going to see you need to be careful. But many times they're a sign of our heart, of what's going on deep in us. And if we're struggling with our words, then we need to not just try to work here where those words are coming out. We need to spend some time with the Lord and let him dig deeper in our life and point to, here's what the problem is. What are you putting in? See, we're right here, and God goes here, and then he also goes to what came in to your heart or attitude, what, something that happened somewhere along the way. And we want to think we're just who we are, but a lot of times there's things we've let in, or there's things that have happened. Maybe there's healing that needs to happen in your life. Maybe there's something that's happened to you that wasn't your fault. But now you've got it there, and you keep having a struggle with these words. Why are you having that struggle? Well, it can tell you something that's going on in here where you can't see. So take that to the Lord in prayer. Don't just consider it an idle word that you messed up with, especially if you see a pattern out of your life. Take it to the Lord and say, "Lord, what is it in here that needs help? Is it something I'm doing? Or is it something that needs healing? What is it, God?" Because that's where words come from. Especially a certain pattern of speaking normally comes from inside of us. "Lord, is it my mind? Do I just have some thinking, the way I think about things that I really need to change? Maybe I need to humble down and let you change some things about the way I think. Maybe I need to let you help me change the opinion of who I am." Sometimes our opinion is just a little too high, and we just feel like maybe the world needs to hear what I'm thinking a little too much. There's all kinds of things that can be going on in us, in our minds and our hearts, that cause the words to come out the way they do. And to just pass them off as idle words, again, you're giving space to the devil. Don't give him that space in your life. Take it to the Lord in prayer. "Lord, show me, what is my struggle here? What is it that I need help with in my life?" And the Lord will help you. And I even think, to me, that's what he's saying here. Everything the Lord spoke, he spoke to give a chance to whoever was hearing it. Not to be condemned. He said, "I didn't come that they may be condemned, but that they may be saved." So these words were even to the Pharisees and the scribes, something here to make them wake up and say, "Guys, there's a reason why you're saying what you're saying, and it's about something deeper than just the words." So Lord, help us to think about that. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." You fix it in here, it's going to fix what's out there, all right? You know, that's what happened to me. I tried all kinds of mechanisms to fix this thing, and when God fixed my heart, it fixed that. I didn't want that anymore in my life. And that's my testimony. Other people have it happen different ways to them. That's how the Lord worked with me. But the end result's the same. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Guys, take it seriously in your life, okay? Let's look over in Job. You know, Job, I think God put Job on my heart, because as I think about Job, I think, man, if anybody should have caught a break, you know who should have caught a break? Job should have caught a break. I mean, he just faced everything you could possibly face besides dying. And he even got to the point where he wished he would. Okay. And the Lord did honor him for that, for the faith that he put in him. I don't want to paint a picture that God just condemned Job. But he did come along and correct him a little bit there at the end. And so over here in Job, the 40th chapter, this is when the Lord has kind of come along and said, well, Job, I've got an issue with what you've been... What did he have an issue with? With what Job had been... had said. He had an issue with the words that Job spoke. His life, Job maintained his integrity. He did all these things. The Lord said, I have an issue with what you just said. And so, why did the Lord come there? Did he need to prove to Job that he was God? He came along for Job's sake. That's who he came along for. God was God, and God's going to be God, and he's going to rule, and no matter what anybody says, God is who he is, right? So he wasn't there for his sake. He was there for Job's sake. He came along and he spoke to Job, and the Lord said, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Job said something, and the Lord said, look, you're reproving me. You've come along and corrected me. Is that your place to do that, Job? And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. You know what happens sometimes when we said something? What's the old saying? We just don't know when to be quiet. You know, Job's saying right here, there's other things in my mind, but I got a hold of it here, Lord, and I'm not going to finish this. I'm going to stop right here. It's okay to stop in the middle. When you realize, whoa, wait a minute, I shouldn't have said that. You don't have to finish it. You don't have to carry it on. You don't have to defend it. In fact, don't carry it on. Don't defend yourself. Don't just stop. Learn that lesson that Job testified to here. When the Lord came along and spoke to him and he recognized, he said, wait a minute. Okay. I'm not going to explain it. It was wrong. I'm stopping right here, Lord. And he humbled himself before the Lord, and you know what happened. The Lord blessed Job. He ended up praying for his friends, and he ended up being restored, all his things. But I wonder what would have happened if Job would have carried on a little bit there and not just stopped in the middle. I spoke once, actually twice maybe, Lord, but I'm going no further. I will proceed no further in this. You have shown me my error, and I will stop here. So let's learn that lesson from Job. Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5, and let's read 1 and 2 here. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And so, again, I want to not give the devil any space here. You have a responsibility when you come into church to speak and to share the things God has given you. You have a responsibility when you're with people through the week who are believers. Lord knows who you're going to come in contact with. We found believers, I guess they found us kind of the same way, you know, just here and there, that truly want to live for God. We have a responsibility to speak of the Lord with each other and to encourage each other. We can't just be quiet, all right? But we can have a carefulness about what we say and about our lives in the midst of that. And so it goes on, it says, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. And by this few here, maybe we could think about, let the Lord salt your words. Take your words and say, Lord, all right, what should I say here? Lord, help me to allow you to show me how to hold these reins. You know, well, there's all kinds of things, but we can sometimes want to just give those reins a quick snap. No, maybe the Lord sees that, but you need to wait until the Lord shows you to give that snap. Give rest to it. Let the Lord show you. Don't be rash. And I say that here, and I use these verses because we can also begin to get an idea, okay, when I come into church, let me be careful. It said before the Lord, and where is the tabernacle of the Lord now? It's with us. God is with us. And we're before the Lord every day of life. This is a message as to how we're supposed to live our lives. Not just coming to church and how we conduct ourselves. A carefulness that we carry with us all the time and in every place. And in all the ways that we use our words, that we would be careful and not rash and realize that we're speaking before God. We get an idea, we get over in a little corner and we can kind of talk a little ways maybe that God's checked us about. God's right there with you. All right, He sees you. The foolishness sometimes in our minds. Lord, help us to be careful and to realize when I speak, I am always before the Lord. And let me speak with carefulness. You know, Psalms 35 and 28. This will be our last little passage here to read today. Let's turn over there. And this whole section, this whole Psalm 35, is David kind of pleading with God and talking about how he's trying to behave himself the right way, and all these people over here are just not returning. Even as they were evil to him, he tried to just handle it the way God would want him to, and they just kept on being evil. And Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Is one thing he says at one point in this psalm. How long are you just sitting here and staring at this? I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. All right? I'm trying to not let it affect me and not make me talk in a way I shouldn't, or speak in a way I shouldn't, or behave myself in a way I shouldn't. Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? But he comes to the end and he says, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. You know, it said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Don't try to do this without doing what you know you need to before the Lord. You're going to fail every time. I can testify to that out of my own life. Spend your time with God. In Romans, I believe it's Romans 12 and 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All right? That's a power struggle in you. And if you're just fighting evil without anything to fight it with, you're going to fall. Invest in the Lord. Invest in time with Him. Invest. Let your mouth speak of who He is. And speak. Overcome evil with good in your life. You need to invest in the Lord ultimately. He is what can help you get the victory in your life that you need to have, and to help you show you how to hold those reins. You pray for me.